with all of my heart today. In the book of Galatians, in the 5th chapter, is where we'll be reading from and reading more than what we normally do. But we want to give you the full backdrop of the message today, what the Lord has given to us, and we'll try our best to share it with you. Galatians, the 5th chapter. And go with me, if you would, down starting at verse 16. Verse 16 reads like this. It says, "This I then say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And stop reading there in verse 23 this morning. Appreciate you standing for the word of God. And today I'd like to take these messages where he has told us what the works of the flesh are and what the works of the Spirit are. And we have a choice today which one we follow. It is our choice. And sometimes, even as Christians, we have a mixture of some of the works of the flesh and some of the works of the Spirit in our life. See, God didn't, when he saves us, he does not make us conform to his word. It is a choice we make to separate ourselves and to become Christ-like in as much as is possible within our hearts and our lives. Many years ago, we preached a message, and today I'd like to use this for a text that we might all see that we have a choice to make in our own life who we want to be. Who we want to be. We are the one that we are today, the person that we are today. But there is a person that we could be for Satan. And there's also the person that we could be for God. And then, I believe this applies to many of us this morning, is the one that we should have been for God. These are tough. But today we see that many folks want to try to be with God and also try to be with the world at the same time. Many of us grew up in churches where they preached the fire and brimstone. Right was right and wrong was wrong. And the preacher and the church didn't try to split the line. They tried to walk the line, that our people might get saved before it's too late. It's hard for people that are lost to want to get saved when Christians look just like the world, act like the world and talk like the world, live like the world. And you say, "Roger, this is Sunday morning, and I've got you as a captive audience this morning." How many of us look at our life, who we are today, and are happy with ourselves? How many of us see that there's changes that need to be made in our life in order for us to conform to the Word of God and what I have found through the years, Brother Emerson, is that the closer we get to the Word of God, the happier we are. Because we've put aside our personal desires and our personal lust and things that Satan throws in front of us and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Many of us today, we know we have faults and failures, especially when it comes to the house of God and our Christian life. I've said before, and we prayed that our country has to get back to God, and our country can't get back to God until we get back to God. It takes the individuals before the churches can, and before the homes can, and before the leaders of our country, because they follow what they think we want. And many of the things that they're voting for and putting in place is things that we ought not to want. You see, when we look at who we are, we see that many of these works of the flesh are evident even in our own life as Christians today. And you say, but I don't do a lot of those things that he's talking about. But Moses said that if we break one part of the law, we're guilty of all of it. If we break, or if we sin, as all of these sins that are listed here, if we do one small sin, we're guilty of all, is what the Bible tells us. People say, well, I don't have idolatry. I don't have witchcraft or variance or emulations or wrath or strife or any of these things in my life. How many of us can go back and say that we don't have any of the seditions or heresies, strife that's in our life? Idolatry. And people say, I don't have those in my life. But anything that we put before God is idolatry. God is a jealous God. And anything we put before him, the golf course, the boating, I come to preach this morning, the job, anything that we put before God is the same as idolatry, and we are guilty of putting that into our Christian life. See, the Bible says that we ought to come out from the world and be a separated people. I said this earlier, and let me say it again. We ought not look like them, act like them, talk like them, dress like them. We ought to want to be different today. And you say, everybody has to wear their hair like you and dress like you in order to be a Christian? And the answer is no. We all have our individuality. But we ought to look like and act like and talk like a born-again child of God. Even in this, when he talks about all these things that's going on, that, you know, hatred. Even in the body of Christ, there are members that don't like each other. Oh, y'all gonna be quiet on a Sunday morning. But it's the truth anyway. How in the world can we hate each other on this side of the river, and when we get to heaven, we're all going to join in and sing that song that the angels can't sing? I don't just bring that up because of all the hatred that we have in our country today. Blacks against whites, whites against blacks, poor against rich, rich against poor. I don't bring it up because of that. I bring it up because the Bible says it. People that hate each other. How can we say we love God whom we've not seen and hate our brother whom we have seen? I don't hate anybody. I hate sin that's in their life, but I don't hate anybody. And even when he goes on to talk about these envyings, even as Christians today, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll be envious of what somebody else has. I've said this many times over the years. Before you get envious of what somebody else has, You better go back and see what it cost them to get to where they're at. The hard work, the dedication, the sacrifice. See, many of us, we want the world, but we don't want to work for it. Can I put this in to be funny for a minute, Ron? We want to be like Democrats. We want the whole world, but we don't want to do anything for it. God did not say he would bless us unless we did our part. And then we go on and look at all these things that he talks about that. And he's in this message looking at who we are today. How many of you have things in your Christian life that you'd like to get rid of so that you're not burdened down with them? Worry and pain, strife that's there. Those are the works of the devil that he brings against us, the sufferings that we go through. But sometimes we need to remember we are not of this world, but we are born again, children of God. And even sometimes when it might be hard to walk alone, I'd rather walk alone than I had to walk with a multitude of people patting me on the back and God not being happy with my life. Because you see, it's not what you think or the world thinks about me. It's what God knows about me that matters. And even I today say, I am not happy with the one that I am. And you say, but you're a preacher and a pastor. How can you say you're not happy? How many of us will admit on a Sunday morning we've got shortcomings and failures in our life? And I'm not happy with who I am. But God, as the young people sing that song, God is still working on me. And he's still working on you. And some of us bear the scars of where God has had to correct us because we got too far away from him. Not only are we the person we currently are, but there's the person that we could be for the devil. There's no telling where any of us would be today had God not come into our life, Larry Jones. Had God not come into our life. You say, let me go back for a minute. You say, Roger, we've never murdered anybody. Did you know, even in the church today, people are being murdered. Because James said, the tongue can kill. You ever spread a rumor? You ever told a lie? You ever talked about somebody? You know what you're doing? You're killing them. Did you know even, I'll use myself as an example before I move on. All it takes is one bad word against me and it could ruin my reputation. All it takes is one woman to say that I come on to them in the wrong way and I would be ruined. You notice I said a woman. You say, don't you like women? I love women. That's why I said a woman, because ain't no place in God's word for a man with a man. Surely you can say amen on that. See, he said the things of this world is adultery and fornication. You say, Roger, move on. But you see, we don't want to talk about it. It's legal, but it's not right. A lot of things are legal, but they're not right according to the Word of God. You see, many people today, and I'll try to move on. Many people today want to be with God and also be with the world. They say, I believe in God and I know he's a Savior and I'm saved, but I think we ought to let a woman have her choice what to do with that child. God says that's murder. And they'll give an account for it. In fact, you know me by now. Not only will that woman give an account, but that man that participated, that doctor, and I believe that nurse, and even the receptionist at the murder clinic will have to give an account. Because it's killing. It's killing. The one that we could be for Satan. Could you imagine how mean you would be if you didn't have the love of God in your heart? How many of you got a temper? I'm looking to see if some of you is going to be honest this morning. Could you imagine how mean you would be if you didn't have God in your heart and your life? There's times, even with God in my life, that I can't stand myself. Anybody else want to confess on a Sunday morning? You ever get so mean that you just have to walk away and say, I need to be by myself? Some of y'all want to say, I know people like that. You better look in the mirror. If it wasn't for God, how many drunkards would we have in the congregation? How many dopers would we have in the congregation? How many people would we have out there stealing and fighting and causing all kinds of havoc? I got a deacon with me this morning that I know if it wasn't for the love of God that he put in his heart, he'd been a murderer. Larry Jones. Because I remember well him up here. And I said, sometimes you like to hurt people when they hurt people you love and you care about. And he said, how about kill them? Amen. We would be out there doing the rioting. We would be out there destroying other people's property. And you say, Roger, now you're talking about everything that's going on in our country. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for us having God in our lives, we all would be as evil could be. And I know people that aren't saved that are good people. But I also know people that aren't saved that you don't want to be around. And not to pick on Brother Holcomb, but y'all remember Rob telling us, before Jim got saved, Rob would cross the street to keep from walking past his house. He was that mean. But look what God's done to him. Can I get an amen? One of the best guys I know of. Because God got a hold of him. See, if we was all we could be for Satan, we would be haters. I don't like anybody. You know why I love y'all? Because you got the love of God in your heart. You know why I love you? Because God put his love in me. If it wasn't for God's love down there, let me tell you, I wouldn't love any of you much. Because we will not have that would separate us from the world. The world don't love you. In fact, the world hates you because you're too goody-good two-shoes. You walk too straight. You talk too straight. You try to live a good life. The world don't want that. They want you to be as mean and evil and as hated as they are. That's why when these riots start, you see people jumping in from all walks of life. Soros hates America so bad, the ones that won't do it willingly, he'll pay them to jump in and help. He hates America. You know, how many of y'all know people that you just believe that they are the spawn of the devil himself? I believe we got some in Congress. Amen. I'm not so sure Peloso's not his daughter. That woman is wicked. But you know, if it wasn't for God, you and I would be following the same suit. I'm in it for me. What's in it for me? And if I'm not the benefactor, I'm not going to do it. That's the way our country is run. Because of so much of Satan. You know, Satan is a liar. How many of you have ever told a lie? I'm trying to get some of you to confess on a Sunday morning. And we go back to what Flip Wilson said years ago. The devil made me do it. No, it was your choice. It's your choice. what you do. We would be a spectacle to look at. Then there's the person that we could be for God. And this is good. Because he said here, the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if we were who we could be for God, we would have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. How many of us sometimes had to bite our tongue in order to keep our temperance? You want to give somebody a piece of your mind, but you would lose your influence. I didn't say you'd say any bad words. That come to your own mind. But we just like to tell them how we really feel. But Sister Vi, sometimes it's better to walk away than it is to speak your mind and then be labeled that for the rest of your life. You see, in order for us to want to be like God, we've got to be holy. We've got to be Spirit-filled. People talk about the Spirit today like it's some strange phenomenon. It's something that happened to our forefathers. You know what? God saved us by the Spirit. We're kept by the Spirit. And we ought to want to be Spirit-filled individuals for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that means we got to have love. Love one another. What is the great commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? He said to have joy. Sometimes I look at Christians and they're the sourest looking things I've ever seen in my life. They have no joy. If your bank account dictates whether you have joy or not, you have got some praying to do. If the house you live in or the vehicle you drive dictates whether you have joy, you got some praying to do. You know what? We could have joy down on the inside when the bank account is busted and the cars are broke down and the house is in shambles because we got God in our hearts and in our life. David said, I'd be happy underneath a cliff somewhere as long as I have God. How many of us could say that today and really mean it? Oh, the place went quiet. He said that we would have peace. How many of you lay down at night, and even though your world is turned upside down, you still have the peace that surpasses all understanding because you got God, Brother Ron. Long suffering. Many of us say we're long suffering as long as I get it when I want it and how I want it. That's not what the Bible says. To be long-suffering means that you have to wait. You say, how long do I have to wait until God sees that we're ready for it? Can I preach this Sunday morning? God has got a house full of blessings for each and every one of us when we are at a place that we can receive it. You know what happens if you give a spoiled child even more? They get even more spoiled. God has given many of us things that we still not went back and thanked him for. Thank you, Brother Eli. Some of us say, well, I thanked him. Do you give God the glory, the praise for everything that happens in your life? Or you just say, look what I did. I ever hear my grandpa say, I never did anything. It takes God to make it happen. Gentleness. Some of you are as rough as a bear and want to talk about gentleness. He's not talking about how you take care of that baby. He's talking about how we treat one another. I don't agree with a lot of things in people's life, but I don't get up in their face and try to embarrass them about what's going on in their life either. Sometimes we just need to be gentle and let God do the work. Do you know if God can't straighten them out, you and I can't? We can't do it. People say, but I have a right to give them my opinion. No. Not unless they ask for it. You say, don't you believe that you ought to confront sin? Yes. But in the right time, at the right place, and when God gives you the word. Because if God don't give you the word, you are doing nothing more than meddling. You say, Roger, why didn't you preach I am again? Because sometimes we need to confront who we are and what we've got in our life. He said that we would have goodness. When last time you was good to somebody and expected nothing in return? Most of the time, we want people to be good to us. But when was the last time you was good to somebody? You say, well, I'm good all the time. You keep telling yourself that. But we know it's not true. And he goes on to say, faith. How many of you really have faith this morning? Faith that no matter what happens. People say, aren't you worried about Becky's health? And you know what my answer is? I'm not worried. I'm concerned, but I'm not worried. Because I have faith that God is able to take care of it. He's able to give the remedy. But not everything we pray for is God going to give to us. You know, sometimes we pray for our people to get well, and God says, I'm going to make them well. I'm going to bring them home and give them a brand new body. They'll not be sick anymore. Hallelujah. You say, do you think God will do that? I don't know what God's plan is. Anybody that tells you they know God's plan is lying. Our lives are individual. And God's got a plan for each and every one of us. The Bible says that meekness, temperance. If we're going to have a godly life, we've got to be righteous. Not when just everybody's looking, but when people aren't looking. How many of you take the shopping cart and put it in the cart holder when you get done at Kroger or Walmart? Nobody's watching you. You know, it's the things you do when nobody's watching that people are watching. And if you're doing it to be a spectacle, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Right? We got to be right all the time. We got to be merciful. Has God been merciful to us today? Then we ought to be merciful. People say, well, that person came back to church and went to the altar and prayed, and I know what they did, and I'm not going to forgive them. What if God did that to us today? The Bible teaches us if God forgives, who is man not to forgive? Amen. And we ought to be a witness, a light that setteth on a hill which cannot be hid. I'll share this with you, then I'll move on and close. At work Friday, I was running around ragged. And one of the things Terry will tell you, normally before I had to wear a mask all the time. I had coffee, but on Friday I was running ragged. So I had a thing of water. And I went down to the dock, and one of the guys said, well, you got in there. I said, I got water. And they said, I don't know if you got water or you got vodka. And the other guy said, now, come on, Reverend. I said, you know me better than that. You see, people watch you everywhere. You don't have to wear a placard that says, I'm a Christian, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor. They know your life. And one of the things that they look at is how you live today and then how you want to be a witness when they're going through a hard time. And they say, is this the same person that did such and such? See, that's the life that you have today that you can change. And then there's the life that could have been. How many of you got regrets about your Christian life? Some of you will help me close. You see, the Lord saved us to be a help to somebody else. You know what church is? Church is for people to come in that are hurting, that are in pain and suffering, and be told that there is a remedy for what they're going through. Oh, I got to preach this morning. Church is a place that us that are saved can tell sinners you could have a better life. How many of us will agree being a born-again child of God is the best life that there is in this world? Amen? Even though we have troubles and trials, I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know. We have regrets because we've let God down so much. We have regrets because we're saved, but yet we've mingled with the world. We're saved, but yet we've walked away from our Christian responsibilities. Did you know if you're saved, you've got a responsibility to God and to the church, to one another, and to a lost and dying world? We have a responsibility for. You say, but it's too late. I want you to know it's never too late. I want you to look at Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 33rd verse, when Peter said, Lord, I will never forsake you. In the 34th verse, Christ told him, before the cock crows, you will have denied me thrice. Three times. He had a choice. He could have stood for God or Christ, or he could turn his back and walked away. And the Bible says he turned his back and walked away. I believe he dealt with that regret the rest of the days of his life. Because you remember, even Christ was speaking to him afterwards, and he says, Peter, do you love me? And he said, thou knowest. He said, no, do you love me? And then he asked him the third time, Larry Jones, with that agape love. Do you really love me? See, the other ones, Peter answered with, I'm that friendship love. Can I go back to friendship? Most of the people we call our friends are not our friends. They're mere acquaintances. Amen? And they'll be your friend until they're done with you. How many of you have ever been pitched to the curb? Yeah, they got everything they could out of your life, and then they was done with you. In the body of Christ, church, we should never use somebody for our glory. We should never use somebody for our benefit. We ought to love them like a brother or like a sister. And Jonah, when God told him to go down to Nineveh, he said, I'm not going to those bunch of heathens. Yeah, that's Roger's words. And I said heathens. That's my country way. I'm sorry. Becky corrects me. Says, it's not heathens, it's heathens. I say, you say heathens, I'll say heathens. I'm not going down there. But you know what? He regretted that he didn't go, but look what it cost him. How many of you have ever been in the belly of a great fish? With all seaweed and everything around you and all the stink of all that he had eaten or she had eaten. You're down there and you're in the midst of all that garbage. I'm sure he regretted it just like we regret it today when we don't do what God tells us to do. Or David, you know what David would tell us today? I have regrets. I should have left Bathsheba alone. Amen. How many of you got things in your life you should have left alone? Oh. Regrets. But do you know, our granddaughter Trinity last Sunday sang that song. You can't go back and take back anything you said yesterday. You can't undo the things that's in the past. All you have is you can change the future for yourself and for your family and your life. The rich young ruler, as Becky and Tara give a song, if you would. You talking about regrets. You know what he would tell us? I wish I would have sold everything and followed Jesus. But it's too late. How many of you have regrets about your Christian life? You know you're saved. I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm questioning your Christian life. Have you lived for God? You say, but Roger, I'm a good person. And I believe that. I believe that. But are you being a light to your children and to your grandchildren, to your lost family members? One of the saddest things I could think of today is you and I going to heaven and not concerned about our people that are still lost and undone. How many people have to walk past a casket with a loved one in and say, as Charlene said this morning, I hope there was a place that they gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Folks, salvation is nothing to hope about. It's something to know about. Yeah. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm not perfect, but God is still working on me. And I need to put this in because God laid this on my heart yesterday. Not only is God working on me, but I'm working on myself. How many of you are working on yourself to try to be better today than you was yesterday? I didn't get an amen one. That's where our country's at. We're just happy wherever we're at. We're just happy. Let everybody do their own thing. Let's just get along. That's what's taking us to hell. It's taking us to hell. If we're going to ever straighten up, we better do it today, because tomorrow might be too late. Are you happy with who you are? Are you the one that you're trying to be for the devil? Are you the one that's trying to be what you can for God? Or some of us today, we're trying to make up for lost time, where we sat idle, where we didn't do everything we knew we should have done. And we're trying to make up time. Folks, and I commend you for that. But for those of you that are there on the sideline, I counsel you this morning, don't wait another day. But today, get on fire for God. Your family, your friends, your church needs you. Your country needs you. We need a Holy Ghost filled revival in the hearts of God's people. And the only way we're ever going to get there is by acknowledging where we're at in our life. Are you lackluster? You know what he said in the book of Revelations? Oh, I'll just turn over there. In the book of Revelations, in the 3rd chapter, God speaking to the church of Laodicea said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would therefore that thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. How many of you are lukewarm? How many of you is cold and indifferent? And I'm just going to be blatantly open with you this morning. How many can really say when you last prayed? I mean really prayed. Not over somebody's sickness or death, but really prayed for yourself and asked God to help you. When was the last time? You say, well, God knows my heart. God knows your heart. But you've got to make a change in order to satisfy yourself and satisfy God. Amen. Will you stand while they sing one verse of a song? We're not going to hold you all day. One verse of a song. You follow your heart. This could be that day you could change the rest of your life. Stop being The one that beats yourself up all the time for all your mistakes and failures. Bring it to God and say, Lord, help me from this day forward that I might be more like you. I want some of that fruit of the Spirit in my life. Follow your heart today. Oh, Jesus. Pause for just a minute. You say, Roger, you don't know what's happened in my life. How many of us have had just disasters happen to us? How many of us have had failures and other people taking advantage of us and some of them just kicking us to the curb and saying, I don't want you in my life anymore? Many of us have seen that. Many of us have seen where the church has turned against people. Yeah, you know why we got so many churches in this land? There's two reasons. One is because they couldn't get along with each other, so they split. And two is, preacher went down the street and started his own church. Yeah, I'll preach it the way I want to preach it. And I'll have people to support me. You will. But what we need to do is get beyond what's happened. Put yesterday behind us. Start today and say, God, help me that starting right now, I could be that person that I know you want me to be. One last verse. Open this morning, we all have room to do more for God. Every one of us. You say, Roger, you don't want us to have any fun at all, do you? I believe you can be a child of God and have all kinds of fun.
That's right.
Cecil and I, we enjoy working. Yeah. You got to watch us. Joy in your heart, you can find joy in anything. Mm-hmm. Amen. I don't like digging ditches. Yeah. But if I got a big one, I'll dig it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Roger gets on to me all the time and say, you want to do everything manual. Let's go get a piece of equipment. I say, that costs money. Yeah. Right? That shovel's already paid for. Yeah. I got another one back there that likes me. Eli. You know, seriously, every one of us needs to take a look at ourselves and say, what in my life do I need to change to be more like God? What do I need to do? You say, God can do that. God can change me. Yes, God will do his part, but we've got to do our part. You know, know, he said, let the liar,
well, he said it like this, Mark, let the liar stop the lying, and let the thieves stop their stealing.
Right?
You say, you call us liars and thieves. If the shoe fits, we need to wear it. But no, I'm not calling you anything. The Word of God tonight. I don't want you to die miserable this morning. I want you to die happy. Amen. Because, as we said in our birthday, I was thinking the other day, I don't know how 60 years went by so fast. I really don't. I turn around and I'm 60. I might face depression
before this day's over. I'm serious. And you say, do you have depression also? How many of you don't have depression every once in a while? Thank you. At least your clothes being honest. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
God's good, amen.
Yes, he is.
Lord, help us with our shortcomings and failures. Yes. That we might become better people and better children of God.
Yes.
Amen. Have a great week. Make sure you may not be able to hug each other. You may not be able or want to. You know, some of you, I believe some of you using that mask as an excuse. Yeah. I think Ray's going to rob us.
I want everything you got.
Yeah. I hope somebody's packing heat this morning. Oh, yeah. Go out, have a great week. Come out Wednesday night at 6:30. And between now and Wednesday, do some praying. You got to pray every day. Multiple times every day. Sometimes you need to pray and just say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Other times, we have to pray and say, help me, Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
God bless you. Scott and Pam, good to have y'all
yeah.
with us. I don't know whether to say they're from Kentucky or Tennessee. I will tell you this, not quote. Him and his cousin, she is your cousin,
yeah.
Right? He's wife.
Depends on what age.
Yeah. They talking blasphemy against me. They talking about me having an orange tie.
Yeah.
They know we're big blue.
Yeah.
And they're talking that orange stuff. But you know, it's good to have fun,
yeah.
right? If they buy it, I'll wear it once. God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy life.